We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in or call it in, same number for both. Several texts just dropped in. Let me see what we got over here. Brian from Huntsville says, Colonel, the $50 for a tooth? The fairy is saying, this is to offset the price of your future braces. Have you had to deal with that as a dad of braces yet?
Oh, yeah.
Lord. Ah, gee. I mean, wow.
We're on round number two with the youngest.
We had both in braces at some point, and we actually had a crazy situation where an orthodontist? Their orthodontist just basically went away. Okay, so what do we do now? We had to swap, and they had to kind of go, oh, it appears you've not been getting the kind of care you need. Oh, crap. You know, but so, yeah, braces. And I swear, so I had one of each, by the way, Butters. I have, you know, a boy and a girl. I love my girl. Raising boys is so much easier, in my opinion. Just everything about it.
I wouldn't know. I'm with two girls.
You are indeed. So. You are heavily laden with girlhood
and
in your
house. Two teenage girls, so yes.
Oh, that's rough, bro. Well, just we're here for you, just so you know.
I appreciate it. I am currently looking for a group, a self-help group or something.
What else we got? Missy from Fayetteville just says, that was awesome. Thank you. And thank you, Missy. I appreciate it. Jeremy from Huntsville says, great monologue. And then JT from Lacey Springs says, $50 tooth, that's just Bidenflation. Bidenflation on the tooth fairy. I'm saying, that's just, what. Who knows? So speaking of Biden, that's where we're going to head in this next segment. So I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there is some stuff that is just maddening right now with regards to parenting. I mean, there's been this constant trend. I mean, dating back to Hillary Clinton, you know, with the "it takes a village." No, it really doesn't. Now you could try to say it was an innocent statement. All I'm saying is that we should care for each other. Okay, that's not what you said though. You said it takes a village to raise a child, and we don't agree. But I stepped into a Twitter fire ant nest yesterday. Liberals on my Twitter feed. I can't call it X yet. It's Twitter to me still. But nonetheless, I mentioned it yesterday on the show that the vice chair of the state Democratic Party is a lady named Tabitha Eisner. And she is the most uber liberal and condescending individual perhaps ever. And she's out there schmarming on Twitter and talking about how, you know, well, I'll tell you what, let me just find it. Hang on a second. I'm going to pull it up real quick because it's been getting lots of hits when I responded back to it. Oh, Phil, where are you? Phil, where are you? Okay. She says, if you can't be nice to LGBTQ kids, you don't need to be a foster parent to LGBTQ kids. Heck, if your personal religious beliefs are more important than a child's need for safety, maybe don't be a foster parent at all. I'm like, what? Well, what she's referring to is, the Biden administration is coming out with new rules that would, if they are allowed to go into effect, would regulate the absolute necessity for foster parents to have to affirm whatever gender identity a kid says they have. Like, it could be child abuse otherwise. What? Well, Tabitha Eisner's all for it. And she'll preach about how my church approves of LGBTQ relationships. Well, okay, but most mainstream churches don't. And she says, basically, if your personal religious beliefs are more important than a child's needs for safety, well, here's what I did. I just gave her a translation. I said, let me translate what Tabitha means is, quote, deeply held faith-based beliefs mean nothing. Set aside your silly traditional Christian views. You're only nice to children when you adopt the paganistic views of the left. Raise them our way or hit the highway. There, I fixed it. She didn't take kindly to that. Nor did a bunch of liberals who all chimed in trying to school me on why I'm a hypocrite, a homophobe, and God knows what else. Loving this.
You're an awful, awful person.
It's just hard to be me sometimes, bro.
Yes, I bet.
You know, what do you do? In fact, one of the ladies says, Phil, are you just trying to be obtuse? And I said, yes and no, which is also obtuse, by the way. And then I said, I've also been referred to as delightfully contumacious.
Nice. There's someone out there on their phone right now looking up the word obtuse.
Yes, so, and contumacious.
Yes, let me know. Text it in. Let me know what the answer is.
It's a great Scrabble word, just so you know. Obtuse and contumacious. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about some of that stuff because when I say that parenting is messy, and it is, parenting gets messier when the government decides to change the rules and tell you that you don't know how to parent and they know better than you. And there's a vast difference between child abuse and just liberal views of what ought to be happening. Yeah. We'll take it up here in a minute. Parenting is messier. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I don't care what part you're in. I can say that. And I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Parenting is messy. Parenting is getting messier when the government gets involved. So, yeah, that's where I'm headed here. And I told you a little bit about just even right here at the local, you know, with dealing with Alabama Democrats. I mean, they are all in on the idea of, well, government knows best. No, they actually don't. Now, I will tell you right now that I'm of the firm belief that there is a role of government in various aspects of our life. There just is. I mean, essential services are still essential. People are not going to build roads and bridges. People are not going to be law enforcement. You don't want anarchy like everybody's a vigilante. You want organized essential services, fire, rescue, you know, whatever. And there's times when you can have public-private partnerships. There's also times when government has to intervene in abusive situations for kids. And I get that. I get that from a legal perspective. I get that from a humanitarian perspective. Where we wind up going astray is when you see government run by agenda-driven bureaucrats and elected officials that decide, you know what, we just know best. And you may have been doing okay without us, but we're still going to intervene and tell you why you're not doing enough or doing it right or doing it wrong or whatever. And truly just getting all in your business. And some people will say, well, Phil, government gets into business all the time. I mean, you know. Legalizing abortion, not legalizing abortion. That's getting it. No, it's not the same thing. It's not. We're not talking about the getting so involved in people's lives. We're talking about saving lives. That's different. But in this case, the Biden administration has really stretched the boundaries of what is considered normal or even acceptable in terms of government's intervention. Got a piece here from USA Today, just to give you some background. This piece came from USA Today back in April of this year. Biden gave a speech, and of course he was talking to a teachers' union organization, I believe. But he gave this speech honoring the nation's Teacher of the Year, and in that he quoted the teacher saying, "There's no such thing as someone else's child." This is the President of the United States. "There's no such thing as someone else's child." It wasn't a slip-up. It wasn't a Biden gaffe. He didn't misread his teleprompter because he went on a minute later and said, "Our nation's children are all of our children." I take issue with that, and so did a lot of other people. I mean, it's one thing for, you know, an individual teacher to say, "Well, these are all my kids," and they're just referring to their classroom, but it's not like they're saying, "That's my kids." It's an entirely different thing when the President of the United States announces it as his position on the issue. But it's like a like an increasingly common theme among Democrats that they know what's best for you and your kids. So Republicans, though, and parents, according to this article from USA Today, have been pushing back. And back in the earlier part of this year, the Republican majority passed something called a Parents' Bill of Rights, and it was dead on arrival in the Senate. It wasn't going to pass the Schumer Senate, not at all. But you also had, at the same time, you had things happening like in Florida. Governor DeSantis passed a number of key education measures that are designed to give parents a say or a greater say in what is happening with their kids. Article points out, it says, concerned parents and Republican lawmakers often even get slammed by Democrats and the left as being some kind of tinfoil hat-wearing fascist bumpkins who just want to ban books. Not at all. What we're saying is, guess what? The vast majority of parents are just good folk raising their kids. They just are. Are there bad parents out there? Well, yeah, there are. There are. And guess what? There are laws about that. There are. There are laws about that. The other piece of what I'm about to deal with here in a minute is a big difference between a law that was passed by the legislative branch of government after debate and an opportunity for amendment, and then maybe even, depending on what kind of law it is, a ratification by the people. That's not happening with the Biden administration. The things I'm about to share with you are being done by regulatory fiat, just stepping in and saying, you know, we just know best, and since we have the power of the pen, we're just going to go ahead and say, here's your sign. That's what they're going to do. They're trying to do it. Moms for Liberty issued a statement about that speech back in April saying, we do not co-parent with the government. You remember back in the day, Clinton, I said earlier, had her It Takes a Village thing. But Jason Bedrick, a guy who was an education research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, said that Clinton was referring to the government superseding parents, and that is true for Biden as well. But think about some recent examples. I mean, people are getting tired of this, right? People are getting sick of it. You look at what happened in the 2021 gubernatorial election in Virginia. So Democrat Terry McAuliffe, he's out there saying things like, I don't think parents ought to be telling schools what they should teach. Hello? How'd that work out for you? Well, he's not the governor now. Glenn Youngkin is. It made it the central theme of his campaign that parents have the better say. And guess what? It resonated because people are tired of being told by government that they're failures for not being an agenda-driven parent. Well, it ramped up a bit this week. Like, a lot. Like, our own Alabama Attorney General just made national news. So here's a piece from Fox. Dateline 2 days ago. GOP adjutant generals, or attorney generals, excuse me, blast the Biden administration for its foster care plan that they say would effectively ban Christians. Yup. Says a group of Republican attorneys general are pushing the Biden administration to back down on a new rule they say will effectively exclude Christian families from fostering kids and jeopardize the whole foster care system nationwide. Now think about this. I did not know this until I read this article, but like in Arkansas, there was one faith-based group that was, you know, responsible for recruiting almost half of the foster homes in the whole state. And in New Mexico, every private placement agency in New Mexico is a Christian-run organization. So if you start axing people based upon faith-based ideals, what's going to happen to the whole system? They don't think about this stuff. All they think about is the LGBTQ lobbyists walked in the door and said, we need you to do this. And they went, yes, yes, yes. And they just did it. So the reality is this. There's a new rule being proposed by the Department of Health and Human Services. And the AGs are taking action on it, and I'm glad. The rule is called the Safe and Appropriate Foster Care Placement Requirements. Right. And it says it would mandate that foster parents and families utilize a foster child's, quote, here's the quote, identified pronouns, chosen name, and allow the child to dress in an age-appropriate manner that the child believes reflects their self-identified gender identity expression. An age-appropriate manner. What is that? Hey, so Butters, what's the deal, man? What if the 16-year-old dude believes he's a 5-year-old girl? What's age-appropriate at that point? I don't even know what to do with this.
I'm not sure.
You got to turn your camera on more often, man. That was priceless. So, all right. By the way, Let us not forget, Lawyer Phil here for a second. There was a Supreme Court ruling back in 2021. The case was called Fulton v. City of Philadelphia. And in Fulton, the Supreme Court determined that when a City of Philadelphia's bureaucrats refused to do contracts with a Catholic social services group to certify same-sex couples as foster parents, that it violated the First Amendment. Meaning what happened was Philadelphia goes, hey, you got to certify them. Doesn't matter what your beliefs are. And the Catholics went, yeah, you know, it's not who we are. That's pretty much violating a tenet of our faith. We don't believe that we can do that in all good conscience. And they said, okay, you get no contracts. Oh, so we have to disregard our faith in order to be on your, you know, nice list. Supreme Court said, nope, you are violating the First Amendment when you do that, City of Philadelphia. Well, Biden's going to do it anyway. What? Does anyone advise him at all legally?
I still don't understand. So I just looked up. I don't know if you looked up the statistics. I'm sitting on the DHR website.
Yeah.
57, big on their website, 5,700.
State DHR?
State, okay. Alabama.
All right.
5,700 plus children in foster care, 2,360 homes. So I'm just doing some math in my head, thinking that's, you probably don't want to cut. And how many of those are people that would self-describe as Christians, do you think, in the state of Alabama?
Oh, listen. Is there a need for it? Absolutely. I know attorneys who are, you know, that do contract work for DHR as guardian ad litem. They show up in hearings to make sure the child has representation, that kind of stuff. And it's nonstop. It's you got to have it. Wow, that's cool. DHR's website, laying it on thick. So here's the deal. Attorney General Steve Marshall made national news in the last couple of days. He has now accused President Biden of, quote, harassing his own state of Alabama, is what his words were. Here's his quote. He says, Joe Biden continues to harass our state and others like it by implicitly threatening to withhold federal funding for children in need if we do not conform to his ideology, but our values are not for sale. He says, since the first century, Christians across the globe have answered the call to provide a home and a family to children who had neither. Alabama boasts a particularly strong faith-based foster care and adoption community, and I will fight this administration for them every step of the way. Steve Marshall, once again, stepping into the fray. And I'm so glad. But yeah, he's not the only one, though, by the way. Our own Congressman Robert Adderholt, he's not playing. Story here on 1819 News. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall and U.S. Representative Robert Adderholt have both signed separate letters demanding that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services rescind a proposed rule they said would discriminate against religious foster parents. Adderholt wrote his separate letter. Several other Republicans signed on to it. And he says, basically, he accused the rule of considering a refusal to affirm a child's gender identity with their biological, not aligned with their biological sex, a form of abuse, and argued it would set a very negative precedent. Yes, it would. So Alabama's leading the way on the fight for this thing, against this thing. And I'm going to tell you, folks, this is what happens when you put an activist mindset into a position of authority and they disregard the legislative branch and they decide, you know what, we're just going to do this thing. Here's how they'll get you. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back and I'll tell you how they can get you. They can get you. It involves money. It involves stuff you need. It involves things that we've gotten so accustomed to getting from government. Anyway. We'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Whiteside Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Couple of text messages here just to keep things current. Jeremy from Huntsville says, so let me get this right. Transgender is more important than eternal damnation. Well, Jeremy, I guess it depends on who you talk to, but I think that liberals could care less about your faith-based beliefs most of the time. So there that is. Brian from Huntsville, he says, the best means of parenting is two loving parents, and the government loves your money, but not your kids. There you go. All right, listen, I started to say something before the break, and I'll jump to it now. You may look at this and go, Phil, I mean, listen, Foster, how are they going to know? I mean, what are they going to say? How are they going to enforce this? What are they going to do? Are they going to send the police around to SWAT your house? I mean, well, you know what? We've seen crazier. But I'll tell you how they're really going to do this, how they're going to enforce it. First thing they're going to do is they're going to require that a policy be put in place, a written policy, one that they can approve, that will say, here's how we will handle it. Like, LGBTQ kids are allowed to at all times in our foster care placements to say that they are of whatever fluid identity they believe they are that day and dress up, yada, 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 yada. And we will instruct our people, yada, yada, yada. And then sooner or later, what they're going to do is they're going to have pre-approved training materials. They're going to teach you how best to help them transition when they want to. They're going to do all that. They're going to do everything they can to ensure that policies are in place and that all the right stuff is handed to you to help with the process. And they're probably going to contract with some of the organizations out there that do the most damage in this lobbying effort, like Human Rights Campaign and GLSEN and some of the others. But then there comes the enforcement. Then you begin to realize how much federal money comes in to the things that you and I and others around us take part in, like this. Free and reduced lunches. How many school kids... You'd be amazed. If you're not familiar with it, if you didn't take part in it yourself, you'd be amazed to find out how many kids rely upon what's called the Free and Reduced Lunch Program. The Department of Health and Human Services and the USDA are the two entities that are most involved in that process. What that means is there's monies that come to the schools, and there better be policies in place. They've already tried that one. That one's being fought right now by the Attorney General. They have talked about letting kids go hungry if schools don't have a policy in place that meets the LGBTQ agenda. What else? How about Medicaid? Well, Medicaid that's a state-funded thing. No, Medicaid is partially funded by state, and then it has a federal match. So if you don't have placement, then you may not be able to get Medicaid dollars for your state. Well, your DHR is a state agency, so they can just say the state's not complying. All right, what about, government-backed loans? Oh, you're a foster parent, but you didn't do that thing we said you had to do? You may not be able to get that renovation loan for your house to add on the bedrooms you need for the foster kids. Sorry. Or, I don't know, let's pick another one. How about, it goes on and on and on. Government benefits, government-backed subsidized loans, opportunities for, you know, additional grants for the kids. How about Social Security? That's a big one. They can get you on Social Security in a heartbeat. The places where we have become intertwined with the need for federal dollars are the places where they'll get you. Don't think they won't. Story here from Alliance Defending Freedom. I pulled this off their website. Alliance Defending Freedom is doing a great job of fighting back against stuff like this. And it flat out says that... it's not just Biden saying it. It's other elected officials that are saying it. Like, for instance, Biden's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, who is just, so, wow, how'd that guy get a job? In shocking sentences from an April speech, Biden did his thing about how our nation's children are all of our children, yada, yada. Well, Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona, he's also been out there on the record saying things like, teachers know what's best for the kids because they're the ones who are with them every day. We must trust the teachers. Never mind that they're there with them for part of a work day. They're not there on the weekends. They're not there at nights when the kids are struggling with, you know, interpersonal issues. They're not the ones who are there for anything else. But the reality is they believe they know best. Then you got the state level. Y'all, how about California? Story came out just in the last 45 days. The California State Assembly approved a bill called AB 957. They approved it. at the House level, and it's moving its way through the processes in the California State Capitol, making gender affirmation a factor that has to be considered in child custody cases. In other words, if one parent says, well, that's not the way I intend to parent, well, then you don't get custodial rights. What? Yes. And it passed by a vote of 57-16. Then there's the other legislation, the Transgender, Gender Diverse, and Intersex Youth Empowerment Act in California, prioritizing the, quote, health, safety, and welfare of children. Elon Musk himself has said that this is utter madness. That implies that if parents have disagreements regarding medical procedures like sterilization for kids, they could lose their custody. CEO Michael Seifert for Public Square, he expressed his own disapproval and said that it's a legislated evil. I'm just telling you, it's not unusual for government to have a role in society, and government has a place, absolutely does. Parenting is already messy enough. Parenting gets a lot messier when government decides it just knows best, and really it's co-parenting with you. We don't need government co-parenting. How about you just step back and know your role? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're coming right back. I'm switching gears, man. Dipper number two. We're going to talk about bringing home the bacon and the beef and the poultry. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.